My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Three and two. Got him, and that's the ball game. Break down the pipe. Well, the Giants, like they seem to always do, they come back late in the game to tie, only to give up back-to-back home runs in the bottom of the eighth. It's a tough loss.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I mean, we sort of started this conversation with Dave Fleming off the top of the week. That's from NBC Sports Bay Area, and Kipe is mad. And so is Krug, and so is Flem, and so is FP. And, like, you can hear it. Like, the broadcast team is, like, they're just annoyed. And good on them. They should be. So are we. And I don't know, man. To me, you know, you've sort of touched on it, too. I don't think Farhan is in great standing right now. I also think that it has to, at minimum, be deeper than that. I know a lot of Giants fans want a pound of flesh right now. Does that fix it? I mean, does that bring anybody exciting to the roster? Does that make you a good team next year? I'm sick of this feeling.
I get it.
I'm sick of the feeling. I want it to go away.
And I hear it from Kipe, and I heard it from FP, and I see it from Krug and Dave and John and you and everybody. And yes, you're sick of it. So let me just play this out. If Farhan right now, behind closed doors, just went to one of the various Johnsons and said, I'm going to step down and I'm no longer going to be president of the baseball operations. And, you know, don't tell anybody. I'm just done. Maybe he's already done. Maybe he's already walked off the job. What does that do for you between now and the end of the year? It does nothing. For me, the only thing that could do something would be, like FP said, and I kind of made fun of him, because now we're enemies after his calling me a chihuahua and whatnot.
Yeah,
but
that's the end of that. You guys are set up for war next
week. Yeah, it's going to be 3 days of war. But, you know, yes, the only thing that can happen is your players play better. But is this team capable of really playing better? How much better can you play? You've played 104 games, and this is what you are. You're 6 games below 500, and, you know, help in the rotation. It's on the way. And, boy, look at Ramos. He's having a great year, and you can't get Fitzgerald out and all the rest of it. And still, you're 2-5 since the break. So, yes, we all want a pound of flesh, and that pound of flesh will probably be Farhan Zaidi, and somebody has to pay for another year of mediocre baseball. But what does that really do for you in terms of on-field baseball being better?
Well, I mean, it recalibrates how you go about your business. So the best I can say is I don't know, but I'm not going to say that the answer is nothing. It recalibrates how you go about your business, and something about how they're going about their business is not working. You know, you talk about it being a mediocre baseball team, and that's a kind word right now. At the same time, like, you know, this is a sum of the parts conversation. There's some very accomplished baseball players on this team, and for whatever reason, it's not adding up. Like, I would imagine, even the Dodgers, there have got to be people that look at the Giants' starting rotation right now on paper, and they're jealous. I mean, are you kidding me? Snell, Robbie Ray's back, Logan Webb, Kyle Harrison as a young pup, throw in Birdsong, Cobb's coming back. I mean, there's an embarrassment of on-paper riches there.
On-paper riches.
Right.
But let's talk about the people behind the names.
Why is it not translating?
Logan Webb has been... He's been mediocre.
It's a rough stretch for the last three starts.
Rough stretch, but in total, his year has been... It's been okay.
It's fine.
It's been fine.
It's just, it's not the problem. I get that it may
Kyle
be...
Kyle Harrison has not been great.
No.
He's been okay.
He's
I know, but all these names and, you know, you want to talk about Blake Snell. He's been bad other than the last few starts. Robbie Ray, 1-for-1. Good on you. Alex Cobb, you haven't pitched. And Birdsong, nice little start, but that's not really what this rotation has been. It's been openers and Keaton Wynn and a lot of shakiness.
Okay, now then let's go to the other parts. Why, Camilo Duvall, you're an all-star. Now all of a sudden you stink. You stink and you're bothering people in the clubhouse. Tyler Rogers, you've got your tidy ERA, but it feels to people, whether this is fully true or not, it feels to people like every time there's a really important situation, you give up a gopher ball.
Two today.
Two.
Back to back.
I mean, one of them's the Shohei. I can forgive that. Nick Ahmed, what are we talking about here? What are we doing? You know what I mean? Like, even, I could go player by player and do this. So Lair can hit 35 homers in the bigs. Not now. Not here. Matt Chapman, you're amazing with the glove. But at the same time, there have been some, like, really big errors at the wrong time. You know, Lamont Wade's got everybody's attention because it's like, wow, that on-base percentage is sparkling. Why has he only hit 3 home runs? You're a first baseman. 3? It's almost August.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so, like, you bounce around. And Bailey's having this good year. Okay, I love it. Your catcher's a switch hitter hitting 285, and he's got a hose behind the plate, but he doesn't have a pitching staff that knows how to give him a chance? There's just all these tiny little weird things that seem to render everything that's supposed to be true meaningless, worthless, and powerless to the point where it adds up to nothing. And I don't know what the answer to that question is, but there's a math equation in there somewhere that has no answer right now.
Right.
Like it does not add up. Individually fine, collectively, yuck.
Which is why you're 6 games below 500.
Yes.
And that's where I look at it collectively, and you think about who to blame, because that's what we do in sports. And you look at a team that is 49-55, and they're heading toward 78-84 and not being a playoff team. And, I mean, even to put that out there, that would mean that they would play 500 ball the rest of the year. And right now, they're not a team that's even capable of playing 500 ball. So they might wind up 72-90. I mean, that's a possibility. I don't think they'll do much worse than that. But, you know, you could start to think about how this could end. And then you look at who's to blame. And it's easy to say, well, Farhan, he's the one who put this together. But you mentioned it. You've got real, legitimate, back-of-the-baseball-card baseball players who have a long track record of being better than this. Why aren't you better than this?
There is no way to escape that this has not been a good first year for Bob Melvin. You can't escape that. I know we love the guy because why? A, there's two reasons. He wore the uniform and his name's not Gabe. Those are the two things we love about him.
Yeah, and we remember him from the A's, and he's won a lot of games in this league and
yes,
all the rest of
cachet,
it. Guy, too.
But right. I love the guy. I was excited about it. But you cannot functionally look at the year and tell me, quite frankly, one or two things where you're like, dude, that's going great. That's Bo Mel. I mean, there was a clubhouse vibe, respect, whatever, and he gets credit for that. But I don't know what you're supposed to do in sports when people don't cover first base, don't hold runners on, don't catch fly balls. Who are we looking at? If this guy's name was Steve Kerr, people will be throwing pianos on his head.
Well, if his name was Gabe Kapler, same thing. And honestly, the Gabe Kapler teams looked more buttoned up on the field than this team does.
Ouch.
I mean, just in terms of how they played.
Actually, they were buttoned up on the field. I don't think they were very buttoned up in the clubhouse.
Agreed.
Now they're buttoned up in the clubhouse, and they're not buttoned up on the field.
No, and just, I mean, you could look at any game across the board, and you could see, like you said, pitchers not holding on runners, and stolen bases allowed, fly balls that aren't caught, shortstops who can't catch ground balls, throws that go wide of first, and all the rest of it, and you start to add up those little 90-foot increments, and that's how you play losing baseball.
Yeah, it is weird. It really is. It's just one of those teams that it seems like whenever it's like this is a key moment for a key play, something oddly prevents that key play from happening, whether it's a fly ball in between two outfielders. How about the error of a key moment? I can't remember if this was Monday or Tuesday. One of the first two Dodger games they lost where, and actually maybe it was even Colorado, whatever. One of these games on the road trip, y'all remember what I'm talking about, where like the Giants are up by a run and there's a man at third and it's a chopper to Chapman and he grabs it. And he turns to throw to first, and he trips. What?
Yeah.
Like, you just tripped over your own feet, and the game is tied. And you lose. It's like, what? Like, honestly, I'm not a huge believer in signs, but it really feels like the universe is trying to tell us something. Nick Ahmed in a 4-4 tie in the eighth, who just traded jerseys 48 hours ago? You can't, that's not real. You can't write that book and get it sold. That's wild.
Yeah.
That didn't just happen, but it did.
And he has two home runs this year. One as a Giant, one versus the Giants. And the other home run he hit, we were so excited we had him on the show. We had Nick Ahmed on the program. We were so excited.
Yep. We were so excited we kept him too long.
Probably.
Not probably, we did.
And do you remember what he said during that interview? He's like, yeah, earlier in my career, I never wanted to be a Giant.
Yep, he did say
that. Because I hated this ballpark.
He hated the ballpark. Well, that's fair. I don't even think there's anything wrong with that. Let's be like, sure, if you're an offensive player, you hate the ballpark. Rich Aurelia said that 20 years ago. I remember sitting in front of him at Dodger Stadium during the Bonds home run chase. And he's like, I'll never forget this line. He goes, I don't know, because at this point, he's talking to the road media. And he's talking about Bonds and what Bonds was doing. And he goes, I don't know if you've all experienced our ballpark as a hitter's park. It's not much of one. He said that while Barry Bonds was in the midst of hitting 1,000 home runs. But yeah. Yeah, not fun for offensive players. You wonder why he can't sign any.
We kept Ahmed too long, and they didn't keep Ahmed long enough, is the way that went.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't remember us keeping him too long. Too long of an interview?
Well.
Something happened on the back end?
Yeah, they were like, let's, you know.
Let's wrap it up. Yeah. Let's wrap it up. We got a DFA this guy.
Exactly. He's only going to be on the team for 12 more minutes. Right. You should probably let him go. This is, by the way, FP was talking about Logan Webb and accountability and really putting it on himself. Here's what Logan said.
Not very. I'm disappointed. I pitched pretty lost 3 times that I've thrown, and there's no excuse for it other than that's not great.
All right. I mean, like, and I know that's not perfect audio, NBC Sports Bay Area, but Logan Webb, yeah, I've pitched like blank.
Schmidt?
Yeah. Over the last 3 times, and there's no excuse. And FP was kind of saying, dude, you're almost taking too much accountability. It's making it a story. I don't even know if I agree with that. I understand where he's coming from. I love Logan Webb. I love Logan Webb. Logan Webb is every bit the leader that you could hope for. And yeah, he hasn't pitched well the last 3 times. But I also think if people are pointing to Logan Webb, you're mad. I get it. Like, Logan Webb is so far down the list of the Giants' problems. So he hasn't pitched well for the last 3 starts. Okay. And he's so far down the list of Giants' problems. I'm not going to get into Logan Webb.
I'm not either, but I do think it's a symptomatic of what has been a bad year when he's been your best pitcher, but he's 3.59 ERA, which is fine. He's been good, but you're supposed to be a team that is thriving on pitching, bullpen, and defense, and your defense has been shaky. Your bullpen has been very erratic, and your starters have mostly been inconsistent.
Logan Webb was asked if he feels added pressure to win because the deadline is coming.
There should be pressure all the time. If you don't feel like you should be winning, then you shouldn't be playing. So, no.
That's my pitcher. That's my starting pitcher right there.
Yeah, you should be feeling pressure to win no matter what.
I'm going to die on that hill right there.
Yeah.
Right? That's our guy. That's how I feel about Logan Webb. That's how I feel about Logan Webb.
He's a great guy.
And he performs. And he's clutch.
He performs. He shows up for sure. He's among the top three in baseball in innings pitched. He takes the ball, and he's durable, and he gives you six, and he pitches well most of the time.
All I ever needed to know about him was game one in 2021 against the Dodgers. That's all I needed to know about him. Dude, are you built like that? And he was like, yep, I'm built like that. Perfect. You're here. You stay.
Yep.
That might be the first name that I utter if someone said, who stays?
It's Logan Webb, yeah.
Logan Webb stays. Ben in Fairfield. Hey, Ben, you're on with Willard and Dibs. What's up?
Yeah, guys, obviously hearing you guys talking about the Giants, and I think the nail on the coffin for me was the Eric Miller debacle with the two dropped fly balls and just the kind of erratic nature of that. And he's coming off the mound last night, and of course we won the game, but it almost felt like a moral loss. He's screaming into his glove, catch the bleeping ball. And it's I couldn't have agreed more with him myself. And we won the game, but then I'm sitting in a bar this afternoon after work and we lose another one, and it's hard to feel optimistic, Mark. I'm just like you. I want to be positive, but it's just they're making it so dang hard to do so.
Ben, I know you and I don't know one another. Dibs will know what I'm talking about here. If you rob me of my optimism, oh my God.
It's a bad thing.
You went and did something wrong.
Big time.
Do you know how hard it is for me to lose my optimism? I mean, to the worst fault that you could ever imagine, you cannot rob me of my optimism. It's gone.
Yeah, this team has robbed you of your optimism.
Absolutely gone.
Yeah, you haven't. I mean, some of the things you've been texting on the show thread have been less than optimistic. You know, not that you're giving up, because you never give up. It's not in your nature, but you have been disgusted at a level that I've not seen from you with this team in the 3 years we've done this and in the 20 or 25 years I've known you. I've never seen this side of you. I mean, kind of like it.
Sometimes I think about sports this way. You know, as fans, like, you get to do this. Let's say, what do we live, you know? 75 years, sure. 80 years?
Hopefully more.
More, right, whatever the average is. But, like, you know, X out, obviously, the first six or seven. You don't know what the hell's going on. Maybe you X out the last six or seven, too. I don't know. We'll see how it all goes. But somewhere in that whole deal is, like, I don't know, 65 trips around the sun. We get to do this in our life. Each season, you get to do it, like, if you're lucky, you get to do it 65 times. That's how precious each season is. That's why I am so turned off, and have been, by the way, whole time you and I have been doing this show. Whenever, you know how I react when someone's like, well, but you know, build for the future schmoocher. We got 65 of these. And in my life, three of them so far have been nailed. You got three rings. And that's beautiful, because I actually spent the first 20 trips around the sun with
30,
with
35,
with
Bubkiss. Whatever. Yep.
Bubkiss. Okay. But now here we are. We got three. That's cool. That's why I feel for the 49er fans who are still just 30 years old, because they feel like we've gotten none. But I got 65 of these, man, and they're precious. And this is three now. Three of them. Okay? So we're talking about 5% of my Giants fandom has been, like, wasted. It's been wasted, not because you have to win every year, but I do think that you have to connect. You have to connect with the fans on some level. I want to still love you when you lose. That's kind of one of my mottos. And I think if you've been a family member in life, and y'all have been, like, that's part of the deal. I want to love you even when you tick me off. Like, I want, it's not all going to be sunshine and beers. We're not doing that every day. So I'm not asking my sports teams to win championships every year. But you cannot put me to sleep, and you cannot run around out there and look like you're not making the millions of dollars that you are. So, you know, the Eric Miller thing that he brings up is interesting, because you and I kind of saw it, I think, the same way, but also a little bit different.
Right.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, Eric Miller, the reliever, it's the same pitcher two nights in a row where the fly ball was hit to the outfield and two outfielders let it bounce in between them. Ramos and Matos, followed by Ramos and Yaz. And maybe it wasn't consecutive nights. Maybe it was 48 hours apart, whatever. And he let the frustration get to him. And without covering his mouth, easy to read his lips last night as he's leaving the field, he screams, "Catch the bleeping ball, ... bleep!" And he let it rip. And then George Kontos was on TV last night, really said, "You're like, you can't do that. You can't do that. You're showing up, Yaz." And I get it. I understand that. But by the same token, I want to appreciate, or at least have Eric Miller's back for a second, because you know who Eric spoke for in that moment? Us. That's how I feel. That's what I'm doing in my living room. You have a 200 and something million dollar payroll, you can't catch a ball? I know you're not going to catch them all, but, like, you have made this a characteristic of Giants baseball, which is like being out there and sort of kind of doing the wrong thing at the wrong time. Does that not feel like what it's been all year long? We got 65 of these.
Yep.
And you're using one of them to watch balls bounce and not cover
exactly.
First and not hold runners.
Well, and I excuse Eric Miller to the extent that when that happens, and neither one of those is an error, those are both base hits. So you're Eric Miller, and you're thinking about your future and a contract, and you're a rookie, and you're thinking, oh, my God, those are both going to be earned runs, and they were. So Eric Miller, that hits you where you live because you're trying to be a professional, and you know when you get to arbitration, they're not going to remember those plays. They're going to look at your numbers and go, oh, geez, your ERA as a rookie, 3.4, 3.55, rather. What happened there, E? Looked like you got knocked around a little bit. You can't just like show highlights of two plays that should have been made, which would have lowered your ERA by about a half a point. That being said, you absolutely cannot let that happen to where you are captured on camera and everybody in the world knows that you are saying catch the bleeping ball followed by one loud bleep. You got to go in the glove, and like FP said when he joined us a little while ago, you got to save that for the tunnel. And he's a young pitcher, so it's something he'll learn as he gets older. But that to me was just symptomatic of a bigger issue with this team, that they're feeling the frustration across the board, and it doesn't seem like there is much of a cure. I don't know if it's a lack of leadership or if it's just a lack of, you know, of just stability. But right now, that to me was symptomatic of a deeper problem with this team.
Yeah. I mean, Eric's a pup. I mean, he's 26, so maybe he's not a pup, but he pre-arb for at least, I mean,
Right.
Nobody's looking at his salary for a long time. He makes less than Brock Purdy. But I get your point, and it's a completely fair point. And, you know, it also, just going back to that idea of it feels like the universe is telling us something. I mean, can we just take a quick snapshot of this road trip? Some of the stuff that's happened, okay? You're up 3-0 with two runners on base, and you're about to hit a two-run triple, and a ground ball hits a base and an umpire, turns into an out. Then
instead of a two-run triple.
So now it's 3-0 and not 5-0. And then an inning later, a batter on the other team essentially begs the umpire not to send him to first because the ball hit his bat, but the ump thinks it hit his arm. The hitter's like, it didn't hit my arm, it hit my bat. Then replay shows that it didn't hit his arm, and he still ends up at first base, and the next guy hits a tank, and that's 3-2. You go on to lose the baseball game. On the same road trip, you've had fly balls bounce in between the outfielders.
Twice.
Can of corn fly balls in both cases. I know the first one was hit well, but easy catch for a major league outfielder. We've had that. Bomell got thrown out before a game even started. A young pitcher broke a record at Coors Field, struck out 12 in six innings, and found himself in San Jose the next morning. Okay? You DFA'd a non-hitting shortstop who somehow weaved his way to your rival, and 48 hours later, he's breaking a 4-4 tie in the bottom of the eighth with his second home run of the year at Dodger Stadium. And I'm probably forgetting 12 more things. That has all happened in the last 7 days. I mean, I ain't much of a believer in a lot of different things, but hey, whoever you are up there, Captain Universe, I heard you. Good Lord. What the hell? What is this team?
It's a bad team.
It is.
So for me, it's not about baseball gods. It's just about a bad team. And when you're not a very good team, you find your way into losses that you otherwise shouldn't have. Bomell getting thrown out before a game to me was hilarious. And that's actually one of two games they've won on this road trip. So that might be the blueprint for how they go about winning games is get your manager ejected pregame. That was the third game in Colorado where he got thrown out. And he was definitely mad about that play that you described where the ball hit the base and the ball hit the ump. And, well, the ump's part of the field of play, and so you got to deal with that. And so instead of being up 5-0, you're up 3-0. You don't score again, and you go out and you lose that game. But all those things you listed, for the most part, are just plays that either were made or weren't made by a bad team.
Right. Right.
You know,
well, I mean,
you can point to baseball gods like the one off the base and the ump five.
That's
a fluky play. The ball hits the umpire almost never in a baseball game.
Right.
And that one not only hit the ump, but it careened right to the Rockies player.
But I mean, a Rocky being like, ump, it didn't hit me. And he's like, it did. You're going to first. But it didn't hit me. I'm sorry. You got to go to first. And I knew. I'm not kidding you.
Yeah,
you're
going to
call
that.
Me a liar at the second. The second they came out with that review, and they're like, play stands is called, runners at first. The first thought that, I go, the next guy's going to hit a homer. I know it. He's going to hit a homer. It's Coors Field. Giants fan, been here every year. Something that makes the top of your head fly off of your body happens every year. And I go, and I'm pretty sure today's the day.
Go on.
I'm like, it's just not their year. It's just not their year. So if you want to go chasing that it's your year this weekend, I'd argue that that's a bad idea. It's a bad idea.
And unless you want to trade a major league player for a future prospect, you know, or somebody who can help you next year, I think you sit and you stand pat.
Oh, you just chalk it up. No, but I got no problem with that. If they want to trade Michael Conforto and Alex Cobb, if you can get something,
Snell, Robbie Ray.
I'm open to it. I know that's painful. I doubt like hell they'll do it, but man, I would listen. If somebody really wants to give you something that you feel is a can't miss deal, you know, somebody who could really be a game changer, you gotta listen. You have to listen. Skills and Vallejo's on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Skills, what's up?
What's up, Willard? What's up, Dibs? You know, I think a good chunk of what's going on with these Giants, the problems they're having, it's like we've all done in our life. We've all at some point in our life worked for someone we don't respect. And I can preface that with a short story. And I used to be, in a previous life, a transportation guy. I used to be, like, drive trucks and things like that. Mock vans, I guess, is more accurate. And one day I had to take a test. I had to navigate around a series of cones in a parking lot to prove that I could do it, prove I was competent. And my trainer, this lady, she was supposed to do it first to show me how it's done. And she failed miserably. And she just, then it's my turn. You know, skills, you can't, you know, this is not possible. I don't know. Why are we even wasting our time? Blah, 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 blah. I did it easily on the first try. Blew it away. And the whole ride back to our base, she's muttering and just complaining. She's revealing herself to be an idiot. So basically, I say that to say this. When you have the team president who's cutting people, demoting people for daring to strike out 12 guys in six innings like you were just talking about, this goes back to cutting Pablo Sandoval in 2020 and Hunter Pence in 2020, guys. People respect it. This goes back to all the different moves over the years. You don't know. You know, you can't even go to a slump on this team. You can't have a two-game slump or else you're going to get sent to Sacramento. And now you can't even have a good game because you're going to sit to San Jose. And if I just know this. If I'm on that team and I'm playing for somebody who's going to send me out for doing well, and I know that I can't even dare to have an 0-4 game in the major leagues, I'm not going to give that guy my best effort. I'm just not. My head's not going to be in it. My heart's not going to be in it. And I'm going to stop now before I start getting really upset. Bye, Willard. Bye, Dibs.
Bye, Skills. Just a public service announcement. You're more than welcome to stay on the radio when you get upset.
Yep.
We prefer it.
We like it here, especially in times like these where...
I'm upset right now.
Yes, and the Dodgers take 3-4, and Nick Ahmed spoils the party with a home run to knock you out.
Incredible.
And, you know, I mean, that it's home run...
Jeff.
That's awesome.
Yep. That home run might be the one that sticks with us as the season goes on.
Maybe.
I mean, when you look at, like... Win this year really got away from you. You dropped 2 of 3 in Colorado. That's bad. And then you go to L.A. and you had a chance to split. And if you split those four, you come home 3-4 since the break thinking, okay, Colorado, we got 4. If you go 3-1, now you're 6-5 in those 11. Not great, but still you're creeping back. You're creeping back. And instead, Nick Ahmed tanks you. And then Shohei, fine, whatever, Shohei. The game was already mostly over at that point. Yeah. Do your thing. But you get back-to-back from Ahmed and Ohtani, and you lose 3 of 4, another blown series. And now you get into this weekend, and you think, not who cares, but it's almost like, yeah, if you don't sweep Colorado in the 4 games over 3 days, who cares?
My brain is really starting to, you know, the end of the movie, Usual Suspects.
Yep. Kaiser Soze.
Yeah. No, but I always reference this because I think it's one of the great scenes in cinematic history, and we're far enough away now that we don't need a spoiler alert, because I think this movie's like 30 years old or something like that.
Yeah, I want to say 2000. No, it's got to be before that.
Let's look it up.
No, it's probably 94.
I think I watched it in college. Usual Suspects came out in 1995.
Funny, because I went to visit my ex-wife's aunt in Bisbee over, it must have been Christmas in 2000, and my then wife was pregnant with our first kid.
Okay.
And my aunt put on Usual Suspects. And so, I mean, not a Christmas movie.
Interesting movie to choose in that case.
We're watching it, and about halfway through, I look over, and the entire family, they're all snoring. And I had seen it before, and I'm just absolutely riveted.
Enthralling, right?
Yeah.
Grandy, have you even heard of you've heard of Usual Suspects?
I have heard of it. I actually have never seen it.
You've never seen it.
You'd like it.
Lucas, you ever seen Usual Suspects?
Never even heard of it.
Never heard of it. Okay. Grow up, will you?
1995? Yeah. Wow, year before I was born.
Exactly. However,
it's a movie with a great twist at the end.
It's an unbelievable twist. And the way that it sort of plays out is there's a police suspect interview going on, and I'll go through this quickly, but turns out there's a bunch of like little pictures and posters on the wall behind the police officer, and the suspect is making up a story, and it's totally based on different things he sees in those pictures. So in other words, it is clear once the suspect is let go, the police officer suddenly turns around and realizes he's been had, because he sees all of these little pictures on the wall that were the inspiration for all the lies that the suspect just told. And it's one of those moments that I'll never forget, because it's like, oh, the puzzle pieces all fit together, and your brain sometimes starts to put them all together, and you're like, oh, that moment of realization. And when I think about balls bouncing off bags and then umpires' chests, When I think about Jorge Soler getting hurt by hitting a foul ball in batting practice off of a cage pole that bounces back down and hits him in the head. When I think about Nick Ahmed, who can't hit, getting the big home run at Dodger Stadium to maybe put a cap on the Giants' season. When I think about $31 million and Blake Snell and the preseason party that he was, leading to here we are in almost August, and he still doesn't have a win, even though he now pitches well. He still does not have a win on his record as a Giant. You start, like, and I could do this with more. There's so many more things. I mentioned the Chapman thing. Big play in Colorado. Snags it. Turns to throw to first. Trips over his own damn feet.
Ahmed did that too earlier in the year.
Absolutely. Throws the ball right by the first baseman.
Logan Webb not covering first. Marco Luciano committing 7 errors over the course of 3 games.
Lamont Wade makes his whole season about Rickwood Field. I cannot, what, like, this means the world to me. And gets hurt right before he gets there. Like, I'm not a believer in curses, but the way we use that word, this team has felt cursed from the very beginning. Like, this is an unbelievable set of ridiculousness that has unfolded for this team all year long.
It's been ridiculous, but at the same time, it's been very believable when you look at who these players are and how they went about their season. And Blake Snell missing all of training camp, all of the preseason season, and then you get hurt. Well, there's no surprise there, and you're relying on Robbie Ray to come back from Tommy John, and he finally did, and boy, he sure looked good yesterday, but it's late July, and we're running out of time here, and Alex Cobb, one setback, followed by another setback, followed by another setback, followed by another setback. So this dream rotation that we all were wondering about, it may never come to pass.
And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, check me on this, the first nine-figure deal that Farhan, the only
right
nine-figure deal that Farhan has signed in 6 years, runs into a wall and misses the rest of the year, literally as the crowd was just learning to chant his name.
Jung-Hoo Lee, torn labrum.
I'm
gone.
The hell are we doing?
Yeah. You know?
What's going on? What's going on?
A lot.
It feels like some force is working against the Giants right now. Or maybe within the Giants.
Right. And if it's within the Giants, then hopefully they can make the change. And I just wonder about everybody who says, you know, Farhan's got to go. Okay, Farhan's got to go. President of baseball operations. What does that mean? So does that mean you elevate Pete Patilla, who's the GM, to president of baseball ops? Do you bring in a new president of baseball ops? If you do that, well, he's going to want his own GM. And then you're going to have to bring in a whole new scouting department. And you're going to have to make wholesale changes, I think, in the front office. And maybe you wind up bringing in a different manager as well.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. Like, it depends on who you're bringing in. It depends on what their philosophy is. It depends on all kinds
of things. A lot of things, for
sure. I will tell you, you know, like, my first question would be, if that ends up happening, okay, because it will at some point, someday the Giants are going to be looking for a new president of baseball operations. Who's making that call? Who's interviewing him?
One of the various Johnsons.
Oh, great. Oh, great. Boy, doesn't that feel wonderful.
Well, they own the team, so they have every right to do that.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. They have every right. Do you have any faith in them?
Well, I mean...
Any?
Of course.
Do they know what's going on in baseball? How are they doing?
How are they doing?
I don't know. I mean...
Farhan won 107 games.
Yes, he did. He won 107 games.
And in the other 5 years, they've been struggling to reach 500.
Yeah. But, I mean, to me, it, like, that's, okay, there's the standings. But if you want to go to ownership, right, we're on podcast talking about breaking even. We're spending time trying to, like, you know, hold up mirrors because dad is somewhere donating to God knows what. So, you know, there's that side of it. Just total discomfort at the idea that whatever the next decision is,
they'll get it right.
That's what it's coming from. You know, meantime, you're printing money, but you get mad when your team finally gets back into the top 10 in payroll and then doesn't perform right away. And don't forget, the higher-ups in the organization have spent the better part of 2 years saying that we would be able to get people to come here, but, you know, our city.
Exactly.
Sweet.
Right.
Awesome.
So go ahead and reboot the whole thing and see if that, you know, makes the changes that you're looking for.
All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? 888-957-9570, Willard and Dibbs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Down the left field line. That's a fair ball. Hernandez will let it kick off the wall, and it kicks away from him. That's going to score Soler. That's going to put Fitzgerald in third. And this game is tied.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, remember 3 hours ago when there was optimism?
That was so fun.
I remember 3 hours ago. That was fun. That was awesome. But
then there was 2 hours and 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, then it went away. Our Giants insider, Alex Pavlovich, our friend, NBC Sports Bay Area, was just quoted after the game as saying, there are some people in this organization that need to make the playoffs.
That need to.
There are some people in this organization that need to make the playoffs.
Such as?
I mean, who? Like, how many people could that even be? Yeah. It's not Bob.
Yeah.
It's not. Yeah. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boop, boop, bop.
Yeah. But it's also, it's two he's and a.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keep working on it. You're getting
there. Sometimes I forget it. Sometimes I nail it, but other times I forget it. But yeah, he would be number one on my need to make the playoffs list.
Be the only one. Who else are we talking about? Who else could that even be? I love, like, you know, we're all dancing around this.
Pete Petilla.
Well.
General manager.
Whatever. That might be alongside him. Yeah, yep. that's a whatever. I mean, nobody even knows he's the general manager. Nobody even knows what he looks like. Pete might be sitting next to you right now.
Yeah.
And no Giants fan knows that.
Right.
But yeah. I mean, I'm not.
Does Bob Melvin need to make the playoffs?
I don't think so.
He is third all time among World Series list managers in wins. So how much?
Yeah, Bob's not. I don't think Bob is going to get.
Gene Mock, Buck Showalter, and Bob Melvin.
Mm-hmm.
That's your top three of all time wins without a ring. In Major League Baseball managing.
I've been telling you for the better part of 3 weeks that it's not safe at third and King. It is not safe. I don't care what extension was signed. I don't care.
This for Farhan.
Yes. This organization is too, gosh, what's the word? I don't want to use
proud.
I mean, like, but yeah. Like, they're not...
too storied?
They're not sitting there doing the, you know, we don't care, you know, whatever. Butts and seats, uh-huh, right? Mission Rock, we're good. Like,
attendance
no.
is up.
No, but
10%.
That's... 10%. No. No. That's not okay. It's not okay. If that's what you want to hear, let me go ahead and tell you. It's not okay. It's not all fine. Like, they're not this, like... I know there's some that seem to have the perception that this is like a group of evildoers who are all in a dark, smoky room somewhere laughing, like Mission Rock in attendance. Aha, Tony's Pizza, $9. Like, we're fine. No, no, they're super, super mad that this is how it looks. And Farhan is one of those people. He's furious. I know people will say, well, blame yourself. Oh, okay. You know, like Dave Fleming came on this station with Bonte and Joe not too long ago and sort of indicated if I were Farhan, I would be livid with how this team has pitched. And, you know, it was a week and a half ago that I was throwing some of those numbers at you.
Right.
I think it's got
23rd in ERA.
For whatever reason, it's gotten tucked underneath the covers of awful offense. And it's not really the case. I'm not saying the Giants are good on offense. I'm not even saying they're good enough, but that's not their biggest problem. Because their team, as it should be with this ballpark, is always built on pitching and defense. And do you know what has stunk worse than hitting this year?
Pitching and defense.
Pitching and defense. And the numbers are there. You don't need me to go find them on the internet.
No.
Go look at them. The Giants have been one of the worst pitching teams in all of baseball. And hell, the Marco Luciano experience alone is enough to show you what has been going on with defense. And if that's not good enough for you, just look at lazy fly balls to the outfield in the last three games.
It's been more than just Marco Luciano at short.
Yep.
You're right. It's been infield plays. It's been infield throws. It's been outfield catching the ball. And you can add to that something that doesn't show up in the fielding stats is the inability to prevent other teams from stealing bases. And they've given up the most stolen bases in baseball, and that's with a catcher who is an elite thrower of the baseball. So you mentioned a couple weeks ago about Brian Price, the pitching coach, and his inability to teach his pitchers or help his pitchers to do better at controlling the run game. So I do look at the failure this year, and I think you can spread the blame across a number of different people. It's not only Farhan Zaidi and his inability to make this team. You know, you spend $200 million and you're not a winning team. I think that's too simplistic. You look at the pitching coach, you look at the manager, you look at all the players who've been out there trying to get the job done. The failure is spread throughout the entire organization. So when you think about how do you fix it, is just replacing Farhan Zaidi going to be the real fix for what ails this team? I don't think so.
Well, no, nothing's ever. I don't know. In pro sports, it's very rare that anything comes down to a human being.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can make the right hire, maybe the right acquisition. Right, even let's this example, like the Golden State Warriors draft Steph Curry. Sure, that was your answer number one to a dynasty, but it's worth nothing by itself. If there's Steph, but there's no Clay, there's no Dre, there's no Andre, there's no Kevin, there's no Steve, there's not, like, what does that do for you? Steph Curry scored 26 a night for a team that didn't even make the playoffs last year. So, no, that doesn't fix anything just by itself. But, you know, look, for what it's worth, my understanding, if you want to talk about Farhan and Bob and, like, who's a more popular figure in the clubhouse, who is able to sort of navigate their way through the vibe of what the organization is doing, you know, Bob's way up here and Farhan's down here. That's how... The clubhouse right now is not a fan of Farhan Zaidi.
I get that.
That's you know what I mean? That's,
and I'm sure today didn't help when the guy who you DFA'd just a few short days ago comes back and hits a home run against you.
That probably didn't help.
No.
I would argue the bigger thing this week was sending Hayden Birdsong to San Jose.
Of course. And I also think that, you know, trying to bring Marco Luciano up and inject him in at shortstop when he couldn't win the job out of camp for obvious reasons, and then you try to inject him in there, and that didn't work, and then you send him out. And even the way that they handled Luis Matos, where Matos was scaldingly hot, National League Player of the Week, and then struggled a little bit, and then he's gone, and he was sad at his own sending out, and yet, you know, just the way it goes, and it's not like, you know, things have gone much better in his stead.
And then you brought him back, and now he can't, I mean, now he looks awful.
Right.
And so you send him down again. And we've got somebody named Derek from the Rangers.
Derek Bell.
Yeah. Or Hill.
One of the two. Yeah, Derek Bell is former Astro. Derek Hill today.
Yeah.
Couple of bats today.
Did he?
Looked pretty good.
How'd he do?
I like the player.
You get a hit?
I don't think so. I have to look.
You guys want a moment of some positivity about the Giants?
Sure, Grandy.
So with that triple that I played coming back from break, hit by Tyler Fitzgerald. He now has a 7-game extra base hit streak. It is the second most by a Giants rookie since 1900, behind only the great Hack Wilson back in 1924.
Look, we're really early in the game, but it is like if you're looking for a shortstop and you're looking for homegrown young players, I think we're a couple of weeks away from being like, oh, well, how about just him? I know he's not the name that anybody thought it was going to be. It's Luciano. Maybe Casey Schmidt. Should we do, what about Wisely? How about let's do the Tyler Fitzgerald thing? Maybe that's your shortstop.
Yeah, sure. He sure hits like it.
He's a guy who multiple times has gone over 20 home runs in the minor leagues. If he can do that at the major league level, do you know what a weapon that is to have that at shortstop?
You can tolerate the glove.
Yeah, which is fine. Like, yeah, I don't know if it's, and he's got speed. I don't know. Yeah, I like Tyler Fitzgerald right now.
Could be the guy.
We'll see.
I mean, if this can last, then yeah, maybe you don't have to go get a shortstop at the deadline.
Grandy, what are you about to do?
Today was the first Baldy day on the morning roast of the football year. So we're going to hear Baldy, and then we'll hear Kawakami touch on Giants and Warriors after that.
Okay. Yeah. Tim Kawakami.
Niners and Warriors.
Niners. Yeah. Tim Kawakami very much made it feel like the Warriors are trying like heck to make another deal.
And I look forward to his podcast dropping tomorrow at some point, and we can react to Joe Lacob's comments. Not just Tim on Joe, but Joe on Tim's podcast.
I think we got all the podcasts now. Did we? Sure.
I think so.
That works. All right, Grandy, here comes with the best of the game, and it's brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Thanks, everybody. That was a whole lot of fun. Do you want to do it again tomorrow?
Let's do one more.
All right, let's do one more. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.